Muslim and everybody else in between, welcome to Sports Rage. Today, let's do this thing as we're breaking it down. The bracket has been set. We were with you last night. Great debut, great podcast, great special last night. March Madness Bracket Mania. As we broke down the bracket, gave you the hot off the presses point spreads from Bet Online. And we've got a couple of more contest entries to give away, although we pretty much gave most of them away last night. I think we might have one or two left. So we'll give a couple of more contest entries away. And you know what? Everybody fills out the brackets and stuff like that. And it's cool. But if you're filling out the bracket, not everybody's like, all right, it's sort of like fantasy football. It's like, yeah, I want to play fantasy football. Who do I play it with? Now, I run my own leagues and stuff like that, and we have fun, but it's not like big high roller stuff or anything like that. So, you know, we have our own March Madness bracket and all that. But if you're looking, you know, to participate and try to win some big money, the Bet Online contest is a good one. It's only $20 to enter, and you can win $50,000. All right, so it's $50K to the winner. There's $200,000 in prizes that go out distributed, but first place is guaranteed $50K to the winner for $20. That's not a bad entry, right? I mean, you're entering all these other contests and stuff, and you're not potentially going to win $50,000. Now, yeah, there's going to be thousands of people in this contest, but for $20, $50,000 is a nice prize. And the top 1,200 people get paid in the contest as well. So you'd get your money back or whatever, depending on where you finish. You can win a couple of $100, a couple of thousand, et cetera, depending on where you finish. So we'll get you, we'll remind you about the contest. We'll get you caught up to date with the updated point spreads. And we went over the games last night and the bracket. It was all fresh. I have filled out a bracket. I didn't hit send yet on it. I want to sort of, let it marinate a little bit. I'll stir it around a little bit. But honestly, my first instincts when it comes to March Madness brackets are normally my best ones. Like, I just fire it off. Boom, 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 boom. All right. I've watched pretty much every one of these teams play. That's the benefit of being a college basketball fan, and I would say a degenerate better, right? Yeah, I'm one of the rare people who can say, oh, yeah, I watched the Utah Valley game last night. Like, you know what I mean? Cal Baptist, you know? Like, I've actually watched these teams. So we can't wait for the tournament to start. We'll bring in our boy Mo Khan momentarily, and we'll get his thoughts on the tournament. Mo is a basketball play-by-play announcer, actually, and he's done. He did some NCAA games this year. So we'll get his thoughts on the NCAA tournament. But the news of the day, and we've already got big news as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned, and it's not very good news in Tuscaloosa right now. As coaches are always worried about like a last minute injury in practice or something like that, they're generally not worried about their second leading scorer and star player getting arrested with a pound of weed and a bunch of money and stuff. So Aiden Holloway has been arrested on felony drug charges. Alabama starter Aiden Holloway was arrested Monday on drug possession charges. Fortunately, he got possession and not intent to distribute. The West Alabama Narcotics Task Force searched Holloway's residence and discovered more than a pound of marijuana, paraphernalia, and cash. Tuscaloosa PD spokesperson said Holloway has been charged with first-degree possession of marijuana and failure to affix a tax stamp. Well, what are you supposed to do? Like, you want him to file taxes on his pound of weed? Both charges are felonies in the state of Alabama. He was transported to Tuscaloosa County Jail on Monday morning with a bond set at $5,000. second leading scorer on the team. He averages 16.8 per game, shooting at a 48.1% clip, a transfer from Auburn. Spent the last 2 years on Alabama. So this is a devastating blow for the Crimson Tide, who will have enough to get by Hofstra in their opening matchup. But this all but just sort of, I don't know, but unless they play the kid, like, you know what I'm saying? Unless they play the kid, which, haven't we been down this road before, right, with Alabama? I mean, let's just be real. There was like a shooting and stuff, and guys, you know, somebody got killed, and people still played after, right? People played after the fact. You could say, you know what? It's up to Alabama. How do they want to look in this? They could say, oh, whatever, let the legal course play itself out. He's innocent until proven guilty. Or they send a message and say, all right, listen, you can't get caught with a pound of weed a couple of days before the biggest game of the year. So there's our first, you want to talk about March Madness. Yeah, Nate Oates woke up today with some March Madness. So that's the big story of the day as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned. But we've got news as far as the NBA is concerned. Not a surprise. You know, we knew this was coming, but it's finally here. They're moving forward right now on the expansion. Las Vegas and Seattle would join the NBA, and Memphis or Minnesota would go to the Eastern Conference. There'd be a realignment of the divisions, but I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves right now. But they're basically getting set to vote on it, and we know it's going to pass. And it would be for like the 2028-2029 seasons. The NBA is targeting 2028-2029 for the debut of the two new franchises. So a franchise, the market of Seattle. I would say that the Sonics are coming back, but I don't know. Do they own the name and all that type of stuff? And you know what I mean? I would imagine it would be the Supersonics, but you never know. And Las Vegas will get a team. So they're going to have to come up with a new name for a team in Las Vegas. And this pretty much sets up perfectly as well for LeBron James, who has been very vocal about wanting the Las Vegas team. He's not the only one that's going to want this. So I imagine it will end up being some sort of partnership, but you figure LeBron next year is probably LeBron's next year. So it sets up perfectly for him, right? He plays next year and then boom, he slides right into NBA ownership after with a new franchise in Las Vegas. So we've got some news going on in the hoops world right now. And, oh yeah, Justin Fields to Kansas City. They were looking for a quarterback, Mahomes. They need a backup for Mahomes. Mahomes might not even be ready to start the season. There was a lot of buzz over the last 24 to 48 hours about Russell Wilson to Kansas City, but it looks like it's Justin Fields who gets the spot. But let's talk some madness right now. Let's bring in our boy Mo Khan, break it down with us. Mo, good to see you. How you doing today? Thanks for joining us on Sports Rage today. How you doing, Mo?
I am well, Gabe. Hope all is well. Let's get ready for some madness as of Tuesday and onwards, my friend.
So listen, I didn't think Alabama was going to win this tournament.
No.
But at the same point in time, they were a dangerous team, right? They're one of these teams that can beat anybody, but they can kind of lose to anybody good as well. They don't play defense, but a devastating blow to them, at least for the time being. Because as I stated, we've seen this with Brandon Miller before, right? Nate Oates really doesn't care about what public opinion is, and he doesn't really care about upsetting the do-gooders, so to speak. He's there to win basketball games. It's a $5,000 bond for the kid. So the kid's going to get out. It's $5,000 only. And he'll be out and he'll have a court date. So technically, Alabama could play them if they wanted to, Mo.
They could. You think about it from the initial bracket, as you said before. I mean, look, they'll take out Hofstra, no question. But I think their next game, they could buy themselves time because I don't believe in Texas Tech to win their opening game against Akron, who they would very well face in the next round here. So I think for Nate Oates, and if there's one thing that Nate Oates does really well, Gabe, go back to the time when they beat UNC in the tournament a couple years ago, right, when UNC was favored to go deep after he had gone to the finals 3 years prior. Nagels is great at adapting his roster to certain situations, and he'll adapt his guys to play into this situation where if they don't have him available for the first round of games this weekend, they'll figure it out, and they can buy themselves time here. But I think for Alabama, you're right. I don't think they go deep as people project them to go, but they're definitely going to be a tough out no matter who they face in the first two rounds going towards next weekend.
And if you're the Michigan Wolverines, it's not the end of the world for you that a team has a problem in your bracket, because Alabama are right in that mix with the Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah.
Michigan get the UMBC Howard winner, and then they would take on the winner of Georgia and St. Louis after, which is that game's going to be a fun game. It should come down to the wire. I personally think the Georgia Bulldogs will get it done against the Billikens. And then right below them, you got Texas Tech Akron,
yep.
Alabama Hofstra. So Texas Tech obviously are dealing with a lot of injury problems right now. Some people think Akron are a live dog in this game, Mo. So we'll start to get down to some picks right now. We got the 12-5, which has traditionally produced some closer basketball games than people would expect. What do you think? Can Akron hang and or beat Texas Tech?
I think they can. Gabe, a month ago, you, Cam, and I, when we were on the podcast, I had picked Tech to be my dark horse team, right? That was before the injuries hit them, when they went and they went on the road, went to Arizona to beat them on the road and all that stuff. But now I'm not buying into Texas Tech and what they can do in this tournament this week. And the thing about Akron, though, and who the head coach is right now, he's being eyed by Cincinnati as we speak and could very well leave after this event if they do very well. And if there's one thing Akron does really well, is the fact that he rebounded the ball very efficiently speaking here. That might come down to that here, those 50-50 chances. And if Akron can get a few more possessions in their favor and convert for points here, I think they can pull off the 5-12 win and move on to the next round.
I think they got the shot as well. I think the Texas Tech-Akron game will come down to the wire, guys. Alabama will have enough for Hofstra, even missing 60. You know, they'll, like we said, it's not totally devastating to them. They can... It's not like they lost three guys, but it'll catch up to them eventually. But you never know, as I stated. I wouldn't just automatically assume that the kid doesn't play moving forward. And then they're sort of there. It's a mini collision course there. So it's funny, Mo, because Texas Tech are injury challenge.
Yeah.
And let's say they get through. Akron could cover, but let's say they get through and then you get Texas Tech and maybe a shorthanded Alabama team, which would still be a hell of a game and a battle, but it would put Michigan in a better spot facing the winner after that.
I think for Michigan's side, for the first couple of rounds, they have an easier path than see the other ones do right now. I think the other one seeds in this tournament have potential landmines that they might have to go through the round 32, if not the Sweet 16 portion here. So if you're a Michigan fan like yourself, Gabe, I think you're looking pretty good on how it's shaping up going towards the first weekend of games. If you get past that, I think they have a very strong chance to be in the Elite Eight moving forward here.
No, at first I was like, well, there's quite a few good teams in Michigan's group, but there's a lot of good teams, but not great teams. And there's a lot of flawed teams. Georgia, won't be easy, but Michigan, should be able to beat Georgia, et cetera. Yeah. They could beat Texas Tech, Alabama winner, although Alabama could be a challenge for them just getting into a track meet. But you look at the bottom of that, of the bracket, of the Midwest bracket, Tennessee are underachievers. They're good, but yep, whatever. They always do their thing. Kentucky and Santa Clara. I think Santa Clara, that's the upset, Mo, I'm calling. I got Santa Clara beating Kentucky outright. But Iowa State are kind of sneaky at the bottom of this bracket. So they're kind of down there at the bottom. And you look at these other teams, Iowa State, Kentucky, Santa Clara. Iowa State can play with them. I mean, I got Virginia and Iowa State sort of on a little collision course down there, and you got the 3-seed Virginia Cavaliers, but it is a winnable group and winnable bracket for the Michigan Wolverines, and it would be, let's just call it off what it is, it'd be a major disappointment, Mo, in Ann Arbor if the Wolverines don't get to the Final Four this year.
I think, look, right now, Gabe, great minds think alike. I actually have Michigan playing Virginia in the regional final. I think they'll get to that
point. Yeah, that's what I have in my bracket as well, Michigan versus Virginia.
Yeah, and look, I'm not taking off a one-game sample for what UVA did against Duke on the weekend here. If you look at the body of work in the ACC, they're well-coached, and they're a tough out. And I think there'll be a tough out. I think for Iowa State here, I love what they did during the regular season for the body of work here. But I think the long view of this tournament here, I think Virginia has that grizzled effort to go through this event. And I think they'll meet up with Michigan in the regionals next weekend.
Yeah, and one thing with Iowa State, too, the dichotomy between them at home and on the road is completely different.
Yeah.
And I get it, they're neutral games, but they really are. They get like a superpower when they play it at home. And they're not the same team. Like, like I said, at least this is a neutral court for them. This is fascinating to me. Stylistically, the teams are so similar. Like Tennessee, Virginia, like these two teams play each other. Dear God, Mo, the total is going to be like 109. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you know what I mean? It'd be like, man, like Tennessee, Virginia, like that's literally like, first of 55 wins, you know?
No, you're right. And I think, look, Rick Barnes, we always question him whether or not he can be, like, he's the Mac Brown of basketball, right? We both coached at Texas back in the day. But I think for Tennessee and seeing what they did this year, I thought they underachieved in the SEC. I didn't think they played as well as they should have. They lost some close games and some clutch games as well. But, you know, you're right. I think they're on a collision course with UVA in the round 32. And that would be one of those games where, hey, you might take a nap during that game, Gabe, to kind of recharge yourself towards the weekend matchup that we'll have.
All right, so as far as the point spreads are concerned in these games, as I stated, Mo, I like Santa Clara to beat Kentucky. I think they can beat them outright. But it's not as if though it's like a massive upset or anything like that. The oddsmakers are aware that this is a tricky game for Kentucky, but they're getting 3.5 right now, Santa Clara. 3.5 points only. Like, I figured it would be in the 6.5-7 range, and it's only 3.5, which goes to show the lack of confidence in Kentucky and the respect in the betting market for Santa Clara. And let's tip our cap, Mo, to the West Coast Conference. They don't get three bids very often, right? It's always like Gonzaga, maybe St. Mary's, and that's it. And normally it was Gonzaga often. They actually got three teams in this year. It's too bad it's getting broken up. It's like the Pac-12. They got good, and then they break it up.
Yeah, you know, it's the Kentucky point that I'll bring up, Gabe, and you know very well, the fans of Kentucky have not been happy, right? They thought this was a demoralizing season. They've underachieved. You go way back to when they played in November non-conference games, right? They were looking at Mark Pope saying, well, what's he doing right now? Like, we're not going in the right direction. And they've been floundering. And I think you're right. That Santa Clara game is very appetizing for you to take and win that game. I think that will definitely burst some brackets because people have Kentucky going over Santa Clara. No. Santa Clara's a real deal, guys. And they'll pull off some wins in this event here. They'll for sure beat Kentucky. And they get Iowa State on a bad day. You never know. They might be a Sweet 16 team going towards next weekend.
All right, so looking at the updated point spreads right now, guys, VCU at Bet Online right now. VCU are plus 2.5 against North Carolina.
Take it.
This is a very good VCU team. We're talking about injuries, Mo, with Texas Tech. Alabama just got one of their players arrested. North Carolina obviously are far from 100%. I think Hubert Davis has done a better job than people give him credit for. I think people are like overly critical of him. But at the same point in time, normally, like, he's able to salvage these seasons, and he goes on a run and stuff like that. But this is a tough matchup to get in the first game against the conference champion VCU Rams.
Yeah, I'm a Carolina fan, Gabe, right? So Hubert Davis has been quite the polarizing head coach for the fans of Chapel Hill. And the thing is, this year, when their star player goes down, they've done nothing since then. You think about it, Gabe, right? They beat Duke way back in Feb. People were saying, hey, could this be maybe a two-line team here? And now they're 6-seed. You think about the game against Clemson and these teams that they played throughout the course of the season, especially during the ACC tournament. They weren't good, Gabe. They've been average. They've been getting by pure athleticism. And this VCU team, seeing that they paired up with North Carolina, take VCU. They'll pull off the win over UNC, and the questions will be like what it was for John Calipari when he was in Kentucky, right, towards the end of his time. Whether or not they can still get this going in the right direction here. So give me VCU to beat UNC on Friday night.
All right. So you said you got Michigan and Virginia playing. Yep. You have Michigan making it to the Final Four then after?
I do. Yes, I do.
All right. So do I. I got Michigan making it to the Final Four. Above them in the West, Arizona against LIU, Villanova, Utah State, Wisconsin, High Point, Arkansas, Hawaii, and shout out to the Bows for getting into the dance for the first time in a decade. This is a fun, this is going to be, these are some really fun games actually here in this bracket. Villanova, Utah State should be a battle. Utah State are an older team. They're a Mormon team, guys. So like they're like 23, 24 years old. They're older kids. I think Villanova should be able to beat them in a close one. But,
yeah,
you know, Mo, it's funny because I'm high on, I think I got Wisconsin as sort of one of these sleepers. And I had Arkansas as one of these sort of sleepers. They play each other. Yes. Like, it sucks. Like, I literally have a list. TCU is on my list, too, Mo. And I did this before the brackets. I did this, like, last Thursday. I was like, I'm going to do a little of my own list of sleepers and stuff in preparation for next week. And I was like, Arkansas. And Arkansas goes on the run. And everybody knows about him. And then, like, at Wisconsin. And then I cannot believe, like I said, it's amazing the committee guys have almost done it. Like similar teams are playing each other in the Midwest. Iowa State, slug ball, like lunch pail, Virginia, Tennessee, Michigan. Like, it's almost like by design. They're like, wow, all right. They're almost like MMA promoters. Like, it's like, all right, let's do stylistically now these guys. Dude, Wisconsin and Arkansas are the same team.
Like, you know what, Gabe?
Like, they do it differently, Mo, but yeah. They both get to 86. They both, like, give up the same amount of points. They both score. Like, they're, like, mirror images of each other. And they get thrown together in the 5-4 matchup. Crazy. Only one of them can go on after. But I'll tell you what. Hawaii can score, Mo. Like, Hawaii's going to run with Arkansas. It'll be a fun game. I like the over. But, you know, Arkansas is going to win. Some people are calling the high point upset. I'm not against the Badgers.
No, and you know, Gabe, as well as I do, a lot of these brackets are designed as having coaching power, right? In certain brackets that you see right now. Look at it currently right now. You look on the other side. You can perhaps,
and name like, schools, Mo. Yeah. Right, exactly. They have it set up. So it'll be Arizona versus Wisconsin or Arizona, which exactly. Is a big TV game.
Izzo versus Hurley, right? That could very well be the collision course. But on this side of the context of what we have with Wisconsin and Arkansas, I think Arkansas is one of the hottest teams out there. You go back to their late home schedule that they had. They were grinding out games and wins. And now you look at the SEC tournament, they're peaking at the right time. They might have the second best player in the tournament going in this week, guys. And I think right now, Gabe, when you look at Arkansas, they can make a run. They can make a run. I think they will get to the Elite Eight or maybe Sweet 16, whatever it is I have right now in my bracket. I'm looking at it as we speak. But I'll tell you one thing. The team to watch out for on this bracket is Miami. They're well coached, Gabe. They're well coached, the Hurricanes. They play the ACC tough this year. And I think they can be on a collision course with Arizona in the Elite Eight for them to go to the Final Four. So I think Miami might be the dark horse in this whole context. Even they might have to go to Gonzaga in the Sweet 16.
Well, they got a tough – I like Miami to beat Missouri. So if you like Miami, you would agree with that.
But that's going to be a de facto home game for Missouri, though, being in St. Louis, though, when you think about it, right?
Yeah, it's not ideal for Miami.
No.
It'll be close, dude. Like a lot of these games are just – you know, they're going to be super close. But I got Miami advancing there, but – they would have to play Purdue after. I don't think Miami would beat Purdue. And I think Lucas has done a great job here, and I like this Miami team. But I think either way, Purdue gets through there. What I'm fascinated by, Mo, is speaking of injuries, BYU injured. Like, they're not 100%, yeah. And neither are Gonzaga. Now, there's a lot of talk about Huff. You know, I don't think he's playing this weekend, personally.
I don't think so.
But I think he will in the Sweet 16. Like, he's close. I think they think, all right, like, we're not going to force this. We could beat Kennesaw State.
Yeah.
And then it gets into, okay, maybe he could be back on the weekend. And then they get the winner of the BYU-Texas-NC State game. And, Mo, we got to get a little ballsy somewhere along the line here. So I'm going to do it right now.
Oh, boy.
Texas beats NC State. Yeah. And then Texas beats BYU after. I'm calling the shot right now.
I agree.
Hey, all the time, Mo, there's someone that comes from the play-in and wins a couple of games. I say it's the Texas Longhorns.
Basketball is one of those sports where if you have a play-in game, it gives that team to get the nerves out of the system. And if Texas can go on that run for the play-in and win that in Dayton and move on, they'll beat BYU. They will beat BYU, and they'll be on a course with Gonzaga in the round 32. So I think you're right. I think the Horns are a team to watch out for. Dark horse, maybe, but I think they could definitely go at least through the play-in and at least through the first round of games on Thursday or Friday that they play on.
And I think they can compete with Gonzaga as well. Texas. Texas are really good offensively, but they're not very good defensively. Gonzaga, as you know, Mo, this year, guys, this is a different Gonzaga team. This is the best defensive Gonzaga team that they've ever had. Like, they don't score 90 points a game anymore. They're more, you know, mid-70s, but they hold you to low 60s type of deal. It's a different style that Gonzaga play, but it is still a solid, really good basketball team, Gonzaga.
It really is. It really is. And you're bang on about that. I think they're more sandpaper than they were because they were finesse, Gabe. Let's think about it, right?
They were kind of soft.
They're not soft, but they were finesse. I think you think about
it. I'll call them soft.
Well, I mean, I say finesse, you say soft. There you go. Same thing. Similar parallels. How about that?
Yeah, they were. You know, so they weren't like, yeah, exact. They're a little like Few's been around the longer. He understands, all right, I got to toughen up just a little bit here. So, all right. So what catches your eye in that group? I'm calling, like I said, I call the shot with Texas to get hot.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I got to stay with the chalk here. And I don't see anybody knocking off Arizona in this group. Maybe Purdue. But I got Arizona getting to the Final Four.
I got Arizona taking on Miami in the Elite Eight, and I got Arizona going through to the Final Four.
Yeah, unfortunately, Arizona and Michigan are on a collision course.
But that's going to be a great game, Gabe, though. Whether it's the Final Four or the Final Two, but in this case, the Final Four, it'll be a fun game to watch if they do meet up in Indianapolis.
All right, so the other side, Duke-Siena. Duke-Siena, Ohio State-TCU, St. John's Northern. Well, let's start off with the top four there. So Duke obviously rolls Siena.
Yeah. Yep.
Ohio State-TCU is going to be a fun game. Ohio State have come on strong. You know, that kind of flies under the radar. People don't talk Ohio State basketball much.
Yeah.
But these guys score like 90 points a game now. Like, their offense is explosive. Like, these guys can score. They're good. But I think TCU, like I was talking about TCU being this sleeper. Mo, dude, TCU beat the Florida Gators this year. They beat Wisconsin. They played Michigan. They only lost by four when Michigan were killing teams earlier in the year. You've got Jamie Dixon. You've got an experienced team. To me, TCU are kind of like they're good, but they're kind of screwed. They got to play Duke even if they win this game after. But I think they could like cover the point spread if they play Duke. I've got TCU beating Ohio State. Who do you like in that one?
I agree. I think TCU might be the lean on this because of what Jamie Dixon is as a coach. Think about his time at Pitt, the amount of tournament experience he has coaching teams, right? Underdog teams. I think TCU does beat Ohio State, and they'll give Duke a run. And remember, Duke is banged up, Gabe, right? We don't know how healthy they will be going towards the first couple of games of this event here. So if they're going to be had, Duke could be had by TCU if they can play a near-perfect game against the Blue Devils on the weekend.
St. John's didn't get any respect despite winning the Big East tournament and the regular season. They're a 5 seed. They should have been a higher seed. They deserve to be a higher seed. But again, Northern Iowa, some people are going Northern Iowa this and that. Northern Iowa won't be able to score. St. John's, not a good matchup for Northern Iowa.
No, and I'm partial because there's a Montrealer playing on Northern Iowa, Ismail Doof. So I have a soft spot for UNI, but I agree. I think St. John's has a chip on their shoulder. You know, Patino's going to use this as motivation, and they'll probably lay down an early marker that they're going to smash Northern Iowa to maybe have a game against Kansas in the next round.
Yeah, Northern Iowa are better off against, like, a finesse team that want to score a little softer or whatnot, and Northern Iowa just slow it down and frustrate you. Dude, St. John are a bunch of bullies. Like, they're not going to be like...
This is New York toughness.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be like, all right, you go. You guys want to play hardcore, half-court defense with us? All right, let's see what happens. And there's going to be all these, like, one lob for dunks after another and stuff. But I tell you what. Listen, Cal Baptists are pretty good, Mo. People don't realize it, but, like, they've got some ballers. Tough kids from L.A., their leading scorer, like a kid drops like 20, 22 a game and stuff.
Yeah.
And they won't be scared of Kansas. They're not going to beat Kansas. But I tell you what, that 14, let me get the updated number of bet online right now.
It's 14 and a half, no?
Yeah, 14, 14 and a half. I kind of get the feeling Cal Baptist can hang around a little bit in this game. It's going to be a fun game. There should be a lot of points in that game. But we just talked about it, how the committee sets up these blue blood matchups and TV games and stuff. And oh my goodness, we're going to have Rick Pitino versus Bill Self, bro, in the second round of the NCAA tournament. Kansas versus St. John's.
Here's the thing about Kansas, though. Which KU teams are going to show up, right? They've been kind of wheezing their way through the last few weeks of the season. And I if they're locked in, Gabe, as they were from, say, November till maybe mid-Jan, late January, that's a tough KU team. But if you're going to get the KU addition from February onwards, they're beatable. They are very beatable. And that's why I just wonder for Bill Self and how this is going to play out for them. If they do have a collision course with St. John's, is can he get his guys playing their best ball? Because they look anemic right now coming to this tournament.
Got to ask you about Miami, Ohio. Miami, Ohio gets in. I predicted this like last month. And I really should be a richer man considering how I predict the future all the time. But I said they're going to run the table in the regular season. They're going to lose in their conference tournament. And they're going to get in to the NCAA tournament with one loss, but they're going to make them play in the play-in. And it's exactly what happened. It's too bad in a sense that it's not Auburn just because of the smack talk and the, you know, really would have been a fun sort of matchup, like to see, all right, you know, all right, Big Mouth, let's see who wins. But SMU. Some people are questioning, all right, SMU, they kind of stumbled down the stretch as well. They've lost seven of their last nine games, yeah. SMU. But SMU opened up as an 8.5-point favorite against Miami, Ohio, BetOnline. Now it's -7. So it's come down a point and a half here. What do you think happens with Miami, Ohio, and SMU?
It's virtually a home game for Miami of Ohio. They're only a 40-minute drive from Dayton for this game. So you know the Red Hawk fans are going to show up in numbers against SMU. But I just think that for Miami of Ohio, they, you know, as much as we criticize them, you can't criticize them because it's what the schedule is, right? They're going to get Duke to come play them in Miami of Ohio. They're not going to do that, guys, right? I think now in this situation, this is a chance for them to prove a point. Look, we can play the best of the best out here. We get an early P4 matchup against SMU. I think Miami of Ohio does pull off the big win over SMU and get into the tournament on the weekend.
Mo Khan kicking it with us on Sports Rage today. I am Gabriel Morenci, and of course, remember to sign up for the Bet Online March Madness contest. I've got a couple entries in this thing. We've got a couple entries to give away still left as well. A lot of you guys are going to be in this thing. It's going to be a lot of fun. $50K to the winner, and basically the top 1,200 people end up making money and or getting your money back, etc. So. For $20, for $50K, it's definitely a fun bracket to be in. It's betonline.ag/contests. So, yeah, man, this is the coach's gauntlet group here, right? It's unbelievable. You got four coaches that have won national championships. Yeah. So we got Rick Pitino, we got Bill Self. They're going to go head-to-head. I tell you what, Mo, this South Florida Bull team, this is a hot basketball team right now, and a good basketball team. They've won 12 games in a row, and they got a Louisville team who are super inconsistent, Mo. Yeah. Like, you don't know, like you just talked about not knowing you're going to get from Kansas. I trust Kansas more than Louisville. Like, Louisville, you really don't know what you're going to get. They can be really good. They can be really bad. This is going to be a tricky – that's going to be a fun game right there. But the way they have this one set up, too, Michigan State versus Louisville, Blue Blood Specials – or to South Florida. I think South Florida can pull the upset here, actually, Mo.
Louisville did not play well this year. I thought they would have taken the step in year two of the coaching regime, and they didn't do that. You know, and they played tough certain teams. They played down to competition, played up to competition. This game is a bit tricky, Gabe. You know, the 6-11 matchup that we have this year, the UNC of VCU, that's a lock for VCU to win. It wouldn't surprise me if USF does beat Louisville in this first round matchup here. And, you know, when you're hot coming into a basketball event, it's tough to derail that type of momentum. So I think the Bulls do have a strong chance to beat Louisville on the opening day.
The bottom of the bracket is interesting as well. UCLA, UCF. UCLA have some injury issues coming into this week. We got to keep our eye on moving forward, obviously. But they, you know, let's just assume that, you know, everybody plays and they're okay. They beat UCF, not easily, but I think they beat UCF. But then I think UConn knock off UCLA down there, Mo. And
yeah, I agree.
Like we would have a little, it seems to me like if things work out according to plan, we're talking about Blue Blood Specials and all this, you'd have UConn versus Michigan State after, which, you know, you got Tom Izzo, you got Hurley, you got the Blue Bloods. That's a big time Sweet 16 matchup there.
I think the winner of that game is going to the Final Four.
You do, eh?
I do. I really believe so. I think Duke.
So you're calling the Duke, because I was going to say, all right, because we both agree on the one seed with Arizona and Michigan so far. So this is the one you say that Duke do not get to the Final Four.
No, I got Duke playing UConn in the Elite Eight, but I think UConn prevails through.
So you got UConn going to the Final Four?
I do. I take away the game against St. John's the weekend. I was so hyped up for that game, Gabe. I was like, let me go watch something else from the tournament games that we had that weekend. You know, it's a bad game for UConn for sure. But you know what? Coach Hurley will get these guys locked in and loaded here, right? This is a team that loves to be the villain in the Big East and how they've been portrayed by the media nationally speaking here. And they'll use that to their advantage here. I think UConn has that ability to go deep. And I think they will go through this event here and get to the Final Four in a couple weeks from now.
All right. So right now at Bet Online, UConn to win the East region, plus 575. And they're the second choice, Mo, so it's not like it's a crazy take that you have here. Duke is minus 120. No, there's no value. Like, Duke are overpriced compared to, like, UConn are damn good, right? So UConn are plus 575. Michigan State are plus 600. St. John's continue not to get that respect at 10-1. Kansas, 16-1. Louisville, 16-1. All right, so Mo... Mo Khan says UConn shakes up the bracket a little bit. So let's skip down to, let's go down to the South right now. You have the defending champion Florida Gators. And speaking of Montreal, Olivier Giroux looking for another championship ring.
Yeah.
So Florida, the one seed, they get Prairie View, Lehigh, blah, blah. They played a winner at Clemson, Iowa after. I got Clemson beating Iowa in that game. Who you got there?
So, Gabe, this is my chaos bracket, the South region. I got Clemson going to the Elite Eight.
All right. So, you got – all right. Whoa. So, Clemson to go to Elite Eight because Clemson faced Florida then. You're calling Florida gets upset this weekend.
Yeah, they don't get out this weekend, Gabe.
Wow.
I think the Gators have peaked early. They peaked a little earlier than normal. And I know people are going to talk about what they did in the SEC tournament and they got skunked by Vandy. But I just don't – it's hard, Gabe, to go deep. I mean, aside from UConn doing what they did back-to-back, this Florida team still lacks that panache from last year's team that's been lacking on this year's team. I think Clemson, they've been building up quietly here, Gabe, going up and up and up here. They played some teams very tough in the ACC towards the end of the year and towards the tournament that we speak of. I think they will beat Florida by the time we speak about this next Monday.
All right, we'll see if me and Mo are on the same page here once again, who we have coming out of this. So bold. I'm not calling the same thing Mo is. I'm not disagreeing with him. I like the boldness of it. But this is a wild bracket, guys. It's a wide open one because you look at this next little group here, Mo, of the four teams, Vanderbilt, McNeese, Nebraska, Troy. Someone's making it to the Sweet 16. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, somebody's got to come out of the group. It's just mathematics. Somebody's got to be left standing. And Vanderbilt had a good year. Yeah, they didn't beat Arkansas yesterday, but they had a really good year. I think McNeese are a super dangerous live underdog, though, with the point spread in this game. And then you get Nebraska and Troy. Nebraska guys have never won an NCAA tournament basketball game before. Pretty wild. They've never won a tournament game before. And they get Troy. So between Vandy, McNeese, Nebraska, Troy, who gets to the Sweet 16?
I think Vanderbilt does. I think we spoke about a game earlier in the year when Michigan played Nebraska, right? It was that primetime Monday night game, I believe it was, and Michigan won that. I feel like that kind of hurt the confidence, the psyche of Nebraska from that point onwards. So I'm not buying into Nebraska, but I'm definitely buying into Vanderbilt. I think they're one of those tougher outs in this tournament. And if they get past McNeese in the first game, I think they should get passed by Troy, and then from there we'll see what happens. But again, I have Clemson going past Vanderbilt on that side of the bracket, though.
So you say Nebraska loses again and doesn't win a tournament game?
Look, Tyronn Lue's not playing for Nebraska in this tournament here, so I think they lose to Troy. Yeah,
wow.
I do. Yeah, this is my chaos side of the bracket right now.
All right. So we both agree with VCU, North Carolina. This, like I said, there's a lot of chaos in this one. You got Illinois and Penn. St. Mary's, Texas A&M, Houston, Idaho, and once again, kind of similar teams, right? Like, so Houston's either going to get a Texas A&M state rivalry game here, or they get a St. Mary's team. It's kind of a poor man's version of what they do. So low-scoring battles here. I don't think it'll be easy for Houston, but Houston survives this little mini bloodbath. That's a tough little four-pack, isn't it? Like, you know, forget about Idaho, right? But, like, St. Mary's, Texas A&M, Houston, Idaho, that's a tough four-pack there that weekend.
That's a real hopper of two matches that we have. And whoever comes out of it, and again, I think Houston will come out of it, and they'll play Texas A&M in the round of 32. But you're right, this might be one of those efforts where it's first one to 65 wins.
So we got North Carolina, VCU, Illinois, Penn. Illinois, you know, Penn upset Yale. Good team, not great, but yeah, they'll be in trouble against Illinois. And then you got, I think VCU is going to knock North Carolina off, but yeah. I like how VCU were playing, Mo, but this is, I'll just cut to the chase here. I've got Illinois winning this region. I've got Illinois going to the Final Four.
You know, Gabe, I was high in Illinois with you and Cam earlier in the season. I still am high with them, but I got Houston coming out of this region. I think they're playing good ball here. I know they had a tough.
And they play in Houston too.
Yeah, it's almost the fact. And the thing is, Gabe, look at the pattern of geography for some of these teams here, right? There's some de facto home games for some of these programs that are going to play in whatever a neutral site court. I think Houston has a really good chance to go through this event here and get to the Final Four. And I think they do beat Clemson in the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four.
All right, so MoCon's Final Four, Arizona Wildcats, Michigan Wolverines,
yep,
UConn Huskies,
yep,
in Houston, and the Houston Cougars. So the Houston Cougars would play the UConn Huskies in a Final Four matchup. Who do you got there?
I got Houston winning that one.
Oh, boy. So, all right, Arizona, Michigan, who you got?
I got your boys.
Oh, I got to tell you, I'm scared of it. I'm like, damn. I'm like, oh, all right.
You use motivation against Mo.
Yeah, I know. I was like, all right, we got to get Arizona. Okay, that's going to be quite the game for us. But all right, Arizona a load to deal with, but I'm sure they're thinking the same thing. Oh, damn, we got to play Michigan. So, yeah, it would be Arizona. So then you've got a Michigan
Houston final.
Houston Cougar final. Man, Kelvin Sampson been knocking on the door for years, man. And then you got Dusty May, who, of course, has made it to a Final Four before. Who wins the national championship?
The question is, Gabe, will you be there for the national title game if Michigan makes it? Will you be there?
Why wouldn't he?
No, but will you be there to watch it?
Oh, I thought you said he. I'm like, why? What are you talking about?
Will you be there to watch it?
Oh, me? No, I will not be. No.
I got Michigan cutting down the nets.
Oh, it's in Indianapolis, actually, though.
Yeah,
huh?
It is in Indianapolis here.
Which isn't terrible, but now the West Coast part is West Coast part, it's too far for me.
I got Michigan. I got Michigan beating Houston.
I got my concerns. I think Michigan will make it to the Final Four. I think if Michigan beats Arizona, I think they'll win if they get to the title game. Arizona will be a load, but listen, there's no guarantee. Arizona have fallen short too, guys, right?
But they've been knowing, like, Gabe, think about it this way, right? The body of work under Coach Lloyd at Arizona is that they always run through conference play, and they get to the tournament, and they always have these yips that happens at the worst time possible.
Right? They're not used to close games because they smoke people all the time.
No, and think about the game against Houston on the weekend, right? They're up big, and then Houston makes the run on them, and it's close back and forth. Think about the game-winning shot over Iowa State. Like, they've had some close games, which they've won. But again, at this point of the season, you got to be in control of the narrative. And I think Arizona will be. But if they play a tough out, I don't think they beat Michigan in the Final Four and probably lose to the Wolverines at that point of the tournament.
All right. So Mo's plays would pay. So UConn is plus 575 to win their region. Houston are plus 250. Houston are plus 250 to win theirs. Arizona are minus 125. And Michigan are like the same thing. What are Michigan to win the region? Michigan are like minus 120. Yeah, minus 120 right now. Bet online. Minus 120. So those are those prices there to make the Final Four. Let me see. Michigan, Arizona, two, blah, blah. So Mo's got the Michigan Wolverines cutting down the nets when it's all said and done. I like it, Mo.
And you'll be singing the fight song come Monday morning after that, Tuesday morning after the big one on the Monday nights.
There's been a lot of disappointment for the Michigan Wolverine basketball program over the years in national championship games. Like, people don't realize the cruelty of it. It's very bad. And I'm a Bills fan, too, so you can't make it up. But so Michigan guys won the national championship in 1989. And Glenn Rice went off. He set an NCAA tournament record. It still stands to this day, actually, Mo. Nobody has scored as many points in the NCAA tournament as in one tournament in six games as Glenn Rice has. And although a kid came close a couple of years ago, like, but he wasn't, who was it? It was the kid, I don't know, it was the kid on Oral Roberts or something.
I forget. Yeah, it's been so long.
Yeah, it might have been the Asmus or Amos or I don't know. It wasn't that long. It was like 4 or 5 years ago. I was like, damn. The kid went off, man. He scored like 34 and 30, whatever. Like Glenn Rice went off in the NCAA tournament, and he led the Michigan Wolverines to the title. Let me get the exact number. What's his number? It's like 230 or something stupid like that. Glenn Rice NCAA record. No, 184. So it's 184 points in six games.
That's about roughly.
So it's 31 a game.
31 a game, yeah.
Yeah. Nobody's done it. Like, he's the only one. Glenn Rice holds the all-time NCAA record for total points scored in a single tournament. He scored 184 points in six games, breaking a previous record. He also set tournament record for field goals made, 75, three-pointers made, 27. It's funny that 27 set the record. Now that'd be like a first half of the game.
Yeah. First 5 minutes of a game.
Probably. Yeah, he made 27 in six games. Yeah, he set four records. He's also the all-time leading. I'm telling you, man, he's my favorite player, actually. Like, people talk about the Fab Five and all this type and all this and different guys on Michigan, but Glenn Rice is the best Michigan Wolverine ever. And look, even to this day, Michigan all-time leading scorer, 2,442 points. Yeah, he averaged 184 points.
Yeah.
And you know, just to wrap it up, too, guys, he scored 31 in the national championship game against Seton Hall. So it wasn't like it was like, he scored like 50 in one game and it was scattered. No, it was like boom, 30, 30, 30, 30.
Yeah, yeah.
And in those days, this is a long time ago, guys. Like, scoring wasn't like it was now.
The shot clock was like 35 seconds, right?
Yeah, yeah, like it wasn't normal. Like, it was like, oh my God, this guy is like on fire, like type thing.
Yeah.
He ended up being the third pick in the NBA draft.
Had a good career in the NBA.
Yeah, he did. He actually did. Like, he got drafted to a bad Charlotte team, or he was on the Miami Heat. He was on the Miami Heat, yeah. But then after he was on sort of an average, sort of sharp, bad Miami team. Like, really bad. It was expansion bad.
That's right, yeah.
Like, him and Ronnie Cicely were, like, the first players type of thing. Like, I think Glenn Rice was in the second Heat draft. He's from there, too. He's from, or he lives there after whatever, but he ended up living there and staying his life there after and stuff. But the Charlotte stuff, and, you know, he wasn't known as a star, Mo, and he is, though. I tell you what, like, he is one of the best three-point shooters in NBA history, too, still.
He well, you know what? He won a ring with the Lakers. And
they won two rings.
Yeah.
He won two rings. One of them he was very instrumental in. Like, one of them he nailed a million threes in the playoffs for them. He sort of, on the Lakers, became that, all right, I'll hit threes for you guy, right? But if you look at his career, because I got into this with people before, they were like, no. And I was like, oh, look it up. Like, Curry is a little, like, by a few fraction percentage points better than him. Like, Glenn Rice, like, seriously was lethal, guys. And also, you got to put in perspective, he was hitting shots with guys that play defense in those days.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Guys were in your face. They were grabbing you. And, like, nowadays, it's, you know what I mean? It's still hard. I'm not one of these, oh, today's NBA, but, like, it's different, like, to hit shots nowadays. But anyways, yeah, Glenn Rice, a freaking stud, and set that record. But I tell you what, Mo, you talked about a kid. If there's a kid that could do it, Acuff could do it.
Yeah, he's a scorer.
Acuff, the kid on Arkansas, guys, because to break this record, you need to basically make it to the final or at least the final four, right? You need to play in a lot of games. But you're going to need to go, like, deep into the tournament. So Because there's a bunch of kids on these bad teams that'll drop 30 or 28 or whatever on the first game. They're going to get knocked out. But Akoff is like, this kid's the real deal, Mo. And man, this kid's a superstar. And I just popped in my head because he's actually from Michigan.
Well, him and Diambata, I think Diambata will be the first pick, and I think Akoff will be in that conversation. This is a loaded freshman class, Gabe. Like, you think about the NBA draft in June, there's going to be some studs that will be taken from this tournament that will go in the top five, not top 10, the lottery selection portion here. So I think this is going to be a fun tournament to watch these Frosch guys go out there and do their damage for their teams this week.
All right, so Mo Cott with us in the house. Mo, we'll wrap it up with you, but the news of the day – in the National Football League, Justin Fields to the Kansas City Chiefs. There was a lot of talk over the last couple of days that Russell Wilson might get signed there as they were looking for an experienced quarterback. And it ends up being Justin Fields, which is just an ideal situation for him, Mo.
Agreed.
Like to be around Eric Bieniemy, to be around Andy Reid, to be in the QB room in a film room with Patrick Mahomes. He's never had this. He was with a dysfunctional Chicago Bears team. The New York Jets are a clown show. Sam Darnold talked about this, guys, in which he said, you know, he said, I was with the Jets and I was with the Panthers. And he said, I learned more in like 6 months being around Kyle Shanahan than I did like in 7 years in the league. And he said, just sitting in the QB room with him and sitting in meetings with him and sitting in the film room with him and sitting and working out with Brock Purdy and doing the reps and everything that Shanahan like basically instilled in us, basically like saved his career.
Yeah.
And if you look at Justin Fields, man, I know people have written the kid off, but how many people would have laughed in our faces, Mo, 2 years ago if we told yeah, Malik Willis is going to sign a big deal as a free agent quarterback in a couple of years as a starter, or that Sam Darnold is going to win, you know, a Super Bowl, that Baker Mayfield, like, you know, would have the prolonged career that he's had. You do get second and third chances. You just need to get lucky and get around the right people.
It's a lottery ticket, Gabe. You know, when you're picked high enough in the NFL draft, you're going to a team that's pretty much dysfunctional, right? Like, Fernando Mendoza is going to a dysfunctional Raider team. Who knows what his career will be like? But now you are Justin Fields. You're going, to, as you said before, going to an organization that's settled, that has the strong acumen to develop quarterbacks. And I think for him to kind of use this opportunity now for Mahomes, we don't know when he will be available. I'm sure he's going to aim to come back for week one, but if Fields gets maybe a 3 or 4 game sample and excels in those 4 games, he might get himself a Malik Willis deal where he gets paid $30 to $35 million for on a 2-year deal and be a number one starter down the road. So this is a great landing spot for him. I think for the Chiefs, they want to buy themselves time and hopefully get Mahomes healthy enough by the time maybe late fall hits or early fall hits towards October, November.
Yeah, just think about the little things, just like on tape, like after a game, they're sitting there. Mahomes could just tell him, I notice you do this, don't do that, or try this, like on this play. And you know what I mean? When you're rolling out, just look here, and you're going to bait this guy in here, and you can go there. Just those little things, like who was going to, you know, what was he going to get, like with the Panthers? Like, I remember Teddy Bridgewater, God bless him, when Matt Rhule was the coach in Carolina, guys, Teddy Bridgewater said that, he said, we don't practice red zone. He said, do you remember that, Mo?
I remember that quote, yeah.
Yeah, he basically said, he goes, no, we don't do red zone or short yardage drills.
Yeah, packages, yeah.
Yeah, he said, like, because they basically, the Panthers once with Teddy Bridgewater was like a four, you know, first and goal. They didn't score. It was a train wreck. And Bridgewater said after, he goes, dude, like, we don't work on this. Like, we don't. And it was like, really? I like, you got to understand some players, like, and you know, the class will end it up. Well, I'll let you go with this, but like a classic example is my boy Bryce Underwood in Ann Arbor with Michigan. You have this blue chip stud quarterback that everybody consensus said this guy is like, you know, slam dunk star or whatever, NFL star. Yet he was still like an 18-year-old kid who relied on talent in high school. He gets to Michigan, the highest level of football out there. You know, you're playing, you know, on their, his first road start, like the second game of the kid's life was in Norman, Oklahoma on a Saturday night. And the Michigan Wolverines didn't have a quarterback coach. Think about that, Mo. They didn't have a quarterback coach.
Yeah.
Like, the kid was on his own. Like, he was – they had the offensive coordinator. So, like, you know what I mean? But, like, there was no specific, like, hey, listen, your footwork, you know, don't do that. Like, you got to twitch here. We got to take this out of your game. Like, dude, Josh Allen wasn't ready when he got to the NFL. Right? It was Carson Palmer's brother, Jordan Palmer.
Yeah.
Jordan Palmer's a stud QB coach that basically said, listen, you're throwing off your back leg. You throw with your arm too much. Your footwork is terrible, Josh.
Yeah.
And it took Josh like 2 years, 3 years to really sort of understand, like, yeah, okay, now I'm like, it's like a boxer. You got to know how to punch. You can't just swing wildly. It's like Bryce Underwood's out there throwing off his back foot, one arm, like throwing totally with his hand and his wrist. And it's like, dude, no coaching. Now you got Coy Detmer in there as the QB coach. And you've seen what this guy, Coy Detmer, did with the quarterbacks at BYU over the years. Now you got Coy Detmer in here. You're going to see the night and difference this year with Bryce Underwood. I can't wait to see it play out. All right, Mo. So enjoy the tournament this week. Great stuff. And let's hope that your prediction is right and the Michigan Wolverines cut down the nets for the first time since 1989. Our boy Mo Khan with us. Thanks, Mo. All right. I didn't expect him to pick the Michigan Wolverines. And to be honest with you, I've got my concerns about Michigan. I've been telling you guys this for a couple of weeks now. Michigan's offense is a little bit sputtered right now. It's not really fully in sync. But with that being stated, their defense is good enough to battle through. They're going to be, they're going to the Final Four. I like that bet. I do like it. BetOnline has it. The Michigan Wolverines to win the region, minus 120. And they are going to be favorites along the way. Now, we could argue, are you better off waiting and doubling up and flipping it over and all that? But it's easier said than done, right? So you just put the damn future in. So I didn't have the same chaos as our boy Mo does here. Like, you look at Duke, I don't think, you know what? Duke might not make it, actually. Duke, I think, could be a little bit vulnerable, but I'm not sure it's UConn. Like, I think if it's not Duke, something like crazy happens and, you know, St. John's goes on a run. Because the thing with Duke is, they do have to go through St. John's and or Kansas. Either one would not be easy for them. Duke are good, but you know what I mean? Like they wouldn't that like Kansas and St. John's can play with Duke. This is because it's funny. I was talking about the brackets and a Duke fan actually said, you know what? I think we got the worst bracket. And your bracket is a bitch. Like I was looking at Michigan's bracket. I was like, damn, Georgia and Alabama and stuff like that. It's like, you notice Michigan basically have to play the SEC. You know what I mean? Michigan, we got to play a bunch of sort of the, you know, mid-tier, top, you know, tier two SEC team type of deals. But if you look at Duke, you know, Mo could be on to something in just in the sense that there's no free pass for them. All right, so like Duke would play Ohio State or TCU. Not an easy game. They should win, but not an easy game. Boom. After that, they would end up with either Kansas or St. John's. Not an easy game. Duke will be favored, but not by much against Kansas and, I don't know, by five or something, four, you know what I mean, and St. John's six or whatever. So, you know, those are tough games. And then even down here, like they get through that and you still would have to go through a UConn or a Michigan State. So Duke's path is tricky. I'm not ready. You know what? I wouldn't like when looking at like who's going to get there. I don't think Arizona, it's going to be Arizona or Purdue. I think Michigan probably do have probably the easiest path to get to the Final Four. They got to deal with Iowa State and Virginia, but they won't have to deal with both of them. And one of those teams, they could lose along the way. So, you know what? I'm open to suggestion in the East. I don't think it's UConn, though. Mo said UConn. I don't think it's UConn. Man, I always say Kansas. Like, I'm a Michigan fan, but anyone who's followed me knows every damn motherfucking tournament, I'm always like, oh, you know what? I think Kansas could go on a deep run. You know what? St. John's or Kansas? The problem is St. John's and Kansas play each other, but then one of them would get Duke after. I think that one of them that gets Duke after could beat Duke. So that's the one, you know what I mean? You know, I can't dismiss UConn either. That bracket is a bitch, I got to tell you. But for me, the South was Mo's got the Houston Cougars coming out of the South, the 2 seed. I'm going to say it's going to be the 3 seed. I like the matchups for Illinois. And I should know better because Illinois often just fall apart here. And Underwood and all that, we know the story. But I like their path. All right, they're going to beat Penn from the Ivy League. Then you get the winner of North Carolina VCU. You're better than North Carolina, and you're better than VCU. VCU would be like a scrappy game for you and stuff, but VCU won't have the firepower to keep up with Illinois. You look at the bottom of the bracket here, St. Mary's, Texas A&M. Illinois could beat either of them. So basically, it's the Houston Cougars. It's Houston and Illinois at the bottom of that bracket to me, and they're on a collision course. So you'd have Houston and you got Illinois playing against each other. I think Illinois would beat them personally. I got Illinois going to the Final Four here. Now, card subject to change. It's still early in the week, right? But I could tell you that was my bracket that I filled out. I did have Illinois making it to the Final Four. So I got two Big Ten teams making it to the Final Four with the Michigan Wolverines and Illinois. All right, so. Shout out to our boy, Big Iron Scruff, and everybody tuning in here on the program. It's in podcast form and audio format as well. We posted last night's show, and we'll continue to get into the trend and the theme. But if you want to support our shows and support the program, support the sponsors, so sign up over at Bet Online. Enter in the contest. It's only $20 to enter and or play some bets during the tournament, as we'll be doing daily shows for them throughout March Madness. We'll catch you guys on the grid at 6 o'clock Eastern time, and we'll break down the WBC. And wow, what a game last night. What a game. Were there a bunch of terrible calls? Did the umpire suck? Yes. The Dominican Republic had their chances. Can't, you know what I mean? A lot of people are sort of like saying the game was tainted and all that. Yeah, it was really bad calls, right? They were really, the umpire was American. So I, you know, say take it for whatever it's worth, but they're all American. So what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Like, I thought the umpire gave the U.S. pitchers a lot of low pitches that he wasn't giving to the Dominicans. Like, the umpire seemed to be biased. Let's just call it out for what it is. But at the same point in time, bro, the game's on the line. There's 2 strikes. Like, you can't. The pitchers were close enough to swing at. We'll put it that way. Like, yeah, like Soto and I tell you what, too. Was it AJ Pierzynski or whoever it was that said it? Like, he said Soto has the best eye in baseball, too. Like, Soto doesn't complain. Like, Soto has a good eye. Like, he knows when it's a ball or a strike or not. And like, Soto knew. But like I said, You had runners on first and second. You had runners on second and third like 4 times. It was very Toronto Blue Jay-like. It was like poor Vlad Guerrero just lived the same thing over again. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was like the Blue Jays game 7 with the Dodgers. It was like, you know, you guys had like the bases loaded and you had like a million opportunities to score in every inning and you didn't take advantage of it. And that was the Dominican Republic and it had ended on a bad call, but they brought it upon themselves. So we'll see you on the grid at 6 o'clock Eastern. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.